Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the lesson which you heard just a moment ago, Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. Your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a few miles south of downtown St. Louis, within what I at least fantasize was once a riverboat's whistle of the Mississippi, in what is now called Concordia Cemetery, stands the mausoleum of the man recognized by everyone as the founder of our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He's honored there not just for his leadership of the Synod, but for faithful service to four congregations at the same time, his presidency of and teaching at our sister seminary, and for a while also at CTS while we were housed there temporarily in St. Louis, and probably most importantly for his writings on church and ministry and the proper distinction between law and gospel. 122 years ago today, Dr. C.F.W. Walther died, and a few days later was laid to rest in this cemetery. But across the river, on the Illinois side, about 40 miles downstream, is the grave of another man, except for whom, humanly speaking, Walther would never have been buried with such honors in St. Louis. Martin Stephan was the man who organized the emigration of approximately 1,000 Saxons from Germany to Missouri in 1838. It's a great story. Sort of. If you don't know why that's funny and you haven't learned the story yet, you will in Church History 4. Stephan was well known in Germany for his powerful, direct, personal, doctrinal preaching. In a time when most of the church in Germany had given over to rationalism, Stephan remained staunch, biblical, confessional. And as a result, he gathered to himself a very, very dedicated following. So dedicated, in fact, that when he decided that their salvation was dependent on severing ties from the apostate state church in Germany, they were willing to sell everything they had, leave their family and friends, and take the risk of crossing the ocean to follow him. They were willing, also, to lay the proceeds of all those sales, all of their finances, at Stephan's feet. And they were willing, before getting off the boat, to sign a document that promised unconditional obedience to their bishop on anything not contrary to Scripture. Whoa! That's already contrary to Scripture, right? In a secular matter like dividing an inheritance, remember Jesus himself said, "Man, who made me a judge over you?" What Stephan had really done was build up one very impressive personality cult. And most of you know what happened. Not only did he squander nearly all of the colonists' funds, but he was also found guilty of adultery with a number of women and sent away across the river to exile in Illinois, which of course left the colony in a fine fix. But probably worse, Martin Stephan may have lost his soul to the temptation of personality cult. But there's a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in a city of Samaria and amazed the people. saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. In our text, Simon the magician has built up an impressive personality cult. But, verse 12, when the people believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. That's amazing. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, does do amazing things, far more amazing than Simon's satanic arts, that great and strange and dreadful strife. No contest. But of course, there's more to the story. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain this gift of God with money. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." The temptation to personality cult is very seductive. You're the guy they all turn to. You're the big man. You're great. I mean, sometimes it has financial rewards, but especially, what an ego rush. Here's a case where a man, by the power of the gospel, has been brought to faith in Christ, but this is still very, very difficult to give up. Simon the magician might have lost his soul to the temptation of personality cult. Each of us pastors could lose our souls to the temptation of personality cult. And deaconesses are not immune to this. This is a very seductive temptation. When you stop to think about it, in other walks of life, very few people find themselves atop the organizational chart of a company or a department or an organization with 50, 100, 200, 500 people under them. It's a pretty impressive gig for a 25-year-old or a 50-year-old. It feels pretty cool, you know. Wearing fancy clothes up here, chanting in front of all the people. It's thrilling to be the hero or the heroine who rushes in the nick of time to the hospital bedside just before emergency surgery, and then gets to collect all the hugs and thank yous after the loved one pulls through. And of course, when it comes to the Bible, you are the answer man. You know more than they do. You're always right. Never mind what Walther says in Church and Ministry, Thesis 10. To the ministry of the word, according to divine right, belongs the duty to judge doctrine. But laymen also possess this right. Which means they also get to judge you. No, never mind that. It's too much fun the other way.
before long, you find yourself believing that you really saved the day, that you really are always right, that you are the power of God called great. So then, when that happens, what you're going to do when you give an answer that's wrong? Or you make one up because you're pretty sure you can slide it by? Or you're flat out caught in a lie? Will you confess your sin publicly if necessary? Or will you cover it up, blame somebody else, maybe even smear the guy who caught you? That's when your soul is on the line. By the way, you know who's most susceptible to this temptation, right? Pastors who are also professors. I mean, they even give names to professors' personality faults. All of us are going to fall prey to this temptation as sure as Simon and Stefan. We probably just won't be as good at it. Pray on peril of your soul that your personality cult is never larger than one. That is, that even your wife or husband is wise enough not to sign on. Pray to the Lord, says Peter, that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. The law has done its work. And presently, writes Walther, the preacher with shining eyes passes over to the gospel. And then the hearts of people are cheered. They see the object of the preacher's preceding remarks. Christ has died even for these sins. For Simon's repeat offenses, lusting to be great, amazing again. For Stefan's megalomania and greed and adulteries, for our delusions of culthood, we are forgiven. By Jesus' death and resurrection, we are forgiven. We don't know how Simon came out, but there is very good reason for hope. The law and gospel that Walther has taught us to divide works that kind of miracle. And Martin Stefan, that grave of his is in the cemetery of Trinity Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois. The last several years of his life, he served as their pastor, and by all accounts, did so very faithfully. We don't know the eternal result for Martin Stefan. When he was sent across the river, it was in great disgrace and impenitence. But there's reason for hope. Exile is a very powerful preaching of the law. I mean, it would be an amazing turnabout.
But the gospel that Walther taught us to apply does do amazing things. Even each of us, even pastors, whose souls are so endangered to the temptation of personality cult, can be saved by the law and the gospel of Christ. Even each of us. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.